can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, he that dwelleth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest thou before thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. I'll just be jumping as, you know. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of their enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. Then soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leniency into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in the company. The flame burned the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped the molten image. Then they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. You know, I could read on and on and on and on. And I hope I can be able to quickly do this as well. Let's look at the next chapter. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good, for his mercies endured forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. He led them forth by the right way, and they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You can go on and on. Verse 15 says the same thing. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 16, for he had broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of things, blah, blah, blah. Verse 21, oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works. And we can keep reading on and on. I just read those two chapters of the Bible to you to give a comparison to the same set of people, but having different narrations. The same, you know, the same circumstances, the same instances, the same experiences, but different narrations. The first one expresses to us people who God did so much for them. This happened, that happened, the next thing, what do they do? They complain. They do this, and then God still, they cry to the Lord, God still answers. And immediately God answers, they praise the Lord. Hey, praise him. And there are so many songs that were written to praise God. But it's just a moment of time. After that, Bible says that they forgot the God who did all that to them. And then they start again. They start to murmur. They start to, you know, and then they start to go astray and all of that and all of that. And God still brings them back. Brings them back this time around with the belief that they would remember again and continue to remember the hand that delivered them. But it's just momentary as well. It's temporal. They love God, they praise God, and before long, they go back again. And so the other one, you know, talks about so many things they go through, and he says, oh, that men will praise the Lord. He's being reminded every minute, irrespective of all of this, my iniquities, my transgression, those that afflict me, oh, that men may praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to start up with that this morning. I'll be talking about gratitude. Hallelujah. Gratitude. Many times, you know, and that's why I said that the choir, they were under the influence. They were filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. For those that were out all night, the choir, as usual, were filled with the Spirit. As usual, we live, you can, you know, life is in phases. You can actually, you know, be on this other side, 106. When I say 106, you know what I mean. And when I say 107, you know what I mean. You can either be on 106 or 107. You know, at this time, you probably, you're happy, you're blessing God, you're praising the Lord. And the other time, you know, you're grumbling, you're making noise. You're complaining, you're tired. And then it can keep going on and on and on. What exactly is the state of the believer? What exactly is required of the believer? What has happened to the believer, and how is the believer supposed to respond to life circumstances and situations when they come? It's so easy to stay on the other side, to easily forget and to murmur, to easily forget and to begin to complain, to easily forget and begin to question God. I like that portion of scripture that says that, can the pot say to the potter, the clay pot say to the potter, why hast thou made me this way? That might be extreme, but really, I'm sure that most of us, I've heard somebody say that, for now, let God just be on his side. I want to stay on my side. For him to have allowed this to happen, let him just, you know, I'm not sure I want to have anything to do with God right now. But the question is, can a mortar clay, can an earthen pot rise up and say to the potter, why did you make me to have two hands? Or why did you make me to have two legs? It can never happen. But as far as some of our relationship with God is, it has happened many times. Either you have voiced it out, or you have not been able to, you have not been bold enough to say it out, but it has happened. And this type of line of thinking cannot offer, especially the Christian, anything. This line of thinking, as good as it is, as logical, you know, we would talk at times and say, look, let's be real. Let's be real. We are human beings. Let's be real. You are, I don't know. Let's be real. Let's face it. But what exactly is the state? What exactly is the response expected of the believer as far as his life on earth is concerned? 1 Corinthians 10, let's read, even though we don't have time. 1 Corinthians 10, I'll read from verse 6. Let me just quote it. It says, these things were written for our examples, to the intent that as they lusted, we should not also lust. And it says that some of them committed adultery, some of them worship the idols, some of them tempted Christ. Verse 10, I think, says that, and some murmured, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Some murmured. Verse 11 says that, and these things were written for our examples. This all happened for our examples. And for our own admonition, unto whom the hands of the head have come. All of these things, as good as those stories, why did they murmur? Why? It says that for us, all of this happened to us for examples. And it has been written for our own admonition. Because it's possible that in our experiences, we are also doing likewise. It's possible that, you know, things happen to us and you say, why me? Why me? Why me? Why? A lot of other things. It's possible. Let's look at some of those there, Momo. Exodus 11. Did I say Exodus? Numbers 11. You can read from verse 1. But let me read from verse 4. It says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Someone says, so you people had manna. I'm just still complaining. He said, there's nothing. This useless manna. This thing that is forcing us to eat. God is forcing us to eat. You know, most of the time, these people murmured at Moses. But the truth of the matter is that Moses had no part in all of this. They were actually murmuring against God. Moses had no, in fact, Moses said that, God, I cannot go. I'm of slow speech. These people will never listen to me. So it was not just about Moses. They would have thought that, you know, Moses was the center, was the reason why. But it was not just about, it was about God. It was all directed in the person who sent him. And you know what? This is an experience I want us to think about. The Israelites were on a journey. That part of their life was just a phase. They were on a journey and God was taking them. God delivered them. God made them. God had the inclination that these people might go back. I know what they are like. They might think of actually going back. Let me take them through this road, through the Red Sea, so that they know that there's really no going back. As in, that kind of thing. You know, but they were so overtaken by what just that period. What we're going through at that time. They forgot the deliverance that God had given them from the Egyptians. They forgot all of the oppression, everything. They forgot the fact that, look, I'm just on a path. I'm going somewhere. I'm on a trip. I'm on a lane. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to my success line. Let me put it. I'm going to a land that is filled with milk and honey. They forgot all of that. They were more interested in what they were going through just at that moment. And so, even the little they had from God, there was no appreciation. They were asking for more. You know, most of us, and that's why most of us are in our lives. The things, you know, God is taking us through a path. We're actually going somewhere. But most of the time, we just stay in that challenge, in that situation, and begin to murmur, and begin to talk to God, and begin to think that this is the end of the world. And you know what? When people stay in that state, I can assure you that they've blocked their minds from that good thing that is afar of them. And that's why most of them, Bible says that they died in the wilderness. Because they just removed the land filled with milk and honey. They were just like, hey, we're suffering. There are graves in Egypt. They are, you understand? They were not trusting that God who actually delivered them and brought them out and promised them, allow me to say, what they did not deserve. They were more about, this is not happening right now. I want this to be done. I want this or I die. There have been, in the past few weeks, you know, I have gone through so much. First time, it's not like I've not lost money before, but first time in my life, I lost hundreds of thousands of naira. It has never happened that way. Like, I was just, really, as in I lost money, I must tell you. And I lost that money not because, you know, I didn't take that risk, not because I took that risk because there were a lot of bills to be paid. I had to do this. I had a lot of things I wanted to. I just said, let me plunge in this money and do this and do this. And then I lost. I became a double loser. I've not paid the bills, and the money, I lost that too. And then there were a series of events as well. I'm sure everybody knew in this church that I wrote exams, and I wrote it with the whole of my life. And my daughter has to tell me that, Mommy, why are you reading like this? Does your life depend on this exam? I can never recover from that. Say, Mommy, come. Does your life depend on this exam? I said, Jemima, I don't know. And then result came out and I didn't make it. All almost in the same week. And then we had an issue with the light in the house, and somebody came and brought in two light wire into the house, and it burnt everything. Think about everything. The only thing that was saved was the freezer. So right now, we don't even have a TV in my house. We don't, you know. And then I was also on a project, and you know, and then it's somebody that collected money from me. Nothing was happening. It was all story. Something happened. I was having sleep. It was all one story after the other. So I've said that to you, and I'm still going to tell you the other side of it. I've said that to you just to tell you that you are not alone. It's not just about you. It's not just, you know, it's not just about an experience that is peculiar to you alone. It's because we are still in this world, we are exposed to so many of these. The question is that, what is God's expectation, or what does the word have to say about the things that we go through? Should we have said, God was there. Now, why did God allow? God could have, you know, and then we just, that's possible. I'm not saying those things are not possible. I'm saying that don't sit there and make a house for yourself there and begin to think that is what life is all about. It's just a phase. And it will pass. I know people in this church who we had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait for their babies. I know somebody who had to go through, if you are the one, just raise your hand. That's just a joke. You know, I know someone who had to go through all sorts of tests. I'm sure she did not do IVF because she didn't have the money. And after she has gone through everything and nothing came out of it, then the baby came all by herself. I know, you know, I know someone who it seemed as if everything was finished. He had gone to a strange land. I don't know if it was remote that took him there, but he sure went. And then it seemed as if, you know, most part of his life was gone and nothing was going to happen again. And then God restored those years. He came back and it was almost as if nothing happened. Am I saying that person is in a perfect state right now where everything he wants is done? No. But I can look back and say that indeed, the Lord can do just anything. With God, just anything is possible. So the fact that it's been so bad, I can remember times in our lives where, anyway, when somebody is married to somebody that speaks, you should just accept some things. When in our house, it was Eba every night. What do I mean by Eba every night? The cost of that food is about 70 naira every night. The fish is 50 naira. You know those dry fish. Those days, it was still 50 naira. And the okra is 20 naira. There is every other thing in the house. Every other thing is usually in the house. The oil, the gas, you know, the water. You know, and the gari is usually, but you know, for a long time, you know, it was just a phase. Hello, I'm not sure I can even eat it again. Not like that. You know, I'm saying I've left that stage far, far, far. I know somebody who told me one day that if I can have money like my brother has, I will also get married. But today, that person travels all over the world. I'm saying those things to you and I'm bringing it home so that you don't think that Whatsoever it is that you are going through presently, or you have gone through, or you will go through, is the end of life. It's just a phase. I'm going somewhere. Because I'm going somewhere, I need to be prepared for where I'm going to. And those are the reasons why I could, or I might be facing the things I'm going through. So when I now sit back and begin to blame God, and begin to murmur, and begin to say that, hey, I am Miti Bajo to Pari. You are not different from these guys. He says some of them murmured, and they were destroyed by the destroyer. Let me tell you what the face is like for people who complain, for people who don't see the bigger picture, for people who just think that they are too myopic. They just think that life is, most of the time, just like it is, they usually forget that they have a God. They usually forget that if he did not spare his son, but gave him up for us, how won't he alongside freely give us all things? They forget that. They just sit back at that face in their life and think that that is all to life. But I'm here to assure you this morning that he neither sleeps nor slumber. I'm here to assure you this morning that with him, nothing is impossible. I'm here to assure you this morning that that same God that parted the Red Sea, that same God that raised Christ up from the dead, is still alive and is alive in you. And he has not changed. And so, I have a big mountain before me. And all I begin to look at is how big the mountain is. Somebody tell me what happens to it. It becomes bigger. How do I climb it? In fact, as you begin to look, it becomes slopy, more steepy. It becomes bigger and bigger. And as it becomes bigger and bigger, you now begin to direct you to God. God, why do I have to go through this again? God, why me? Why, and what does all of those questions, you begin to murmur, you begin to complain. What do? They send doubts into your mind about the person of God. And you know what? Bible says that an unstable man can never receive anything from the Lord. My time is up and I've not even started. I've just been murmuring. I've not been gratifying God. Okay, so anyway. So you know that's the process. That's how it goes. You look at it. You look at it, becomes bigger. You begin to ask questions. You know, the devil sells a lot of ideas into you, how it's never possible. And then you go, and all that, and all that. And before long, you begin to like, why me? Why? And then you doubt God. And because you doubt God, or because there's no faith in your heart, you receive nothing from the Lord. And you can be like that and say, God is not good to me. And you can be like that and say, God is not even checking up on me. And you can look at her and say, he has done this for this person. Maybe we were together. Maybe we were, and you begin to give a lot of excuses. But on the other hand, I have a big mountain before me. I'm not focusing on the mountain. My focus is on the God that has done more than this mountain, that's moved this mountain before. Is able to move it again. I remember his blessings. I remember when I did not have help, where help came. I remember when I did not have food on my table. I remember when I did not have a job and they provided it. I remember when I did not have a child and the child came. I remember all that God has done, and faith sprouts up in my heart to God. In that state, even if I have not even received what I desire of me, I'm in a state where I'm pleasing God. Because the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm also looking at it, and that's why I read those two scenarios to us. I'm also looking at that problem, not like I don't have it. I have that mountain right before me, not like it has gone. But you know what? My response and my attitude to it is that of giving thanks to God. Because I don't forget. I'm not someone who forgets. I'm not someone who forgot how God parted the Red Sea. He says that he parted it in such a way that the enemies got in and none of them was left. I, can never forget that. I know that, you know, someone says it's the Red Sea. I know God has parted Red Sea for me in my life. I know where I know I should have died. I know a lot of things should have happened to me, but the Lord, but God kept me. I look at those, I look at my issues, my challenges in that light, and I give thanks to God because I know He can do much more than I could ever think about. And that is the difference between, you know, what I just read to you. It says, oh, give thanks to God, for He is good, for His mercies endures forever. Hallelujah. I've not talked about gratitude, but let me just round off with this. I'm sure that I'll continue some other. So what is gratitude this morning? It's just giving thanks. Gratitude is giving thanks. And it's from two words, EU, that's EU, and then charismatas. It means, EU means that E and U, you, means well. Charismatas means to give freely. To give freely. So it means to speak of God, the goodness of God, freely. Freely. Some of us give thanks to God because we are in church. And the song, and the song, sounds so sonorous, so good, and so because of that we dance. Some of us are even, okay, let me not say what I would say, that dance doctrine. And so some of us, we dance. Some of us are not even able to dance. We are so conscious of ourselves. Some of us feel even too big to dance. If I dance, you know, I don't know. Some people only give thanks when something wonderful has happened. And so that is why a lot of people have said things about the woman that comes out and say, I have a testimony. What's your testimony? My testimony is that I was dirty. I was this. I was that. The Lord washed me, made me clean. Now I'm saved. Hallelujah. And they're like, hello. Why are you coming to disturb us here? What our testimony is that? You know, people give thanks for different reasons. Some people, you know, are grateful in their heart, but they can't say it out. He knows I'm grateful, that's all. He knows I'm grateful. You know, but the actual state that the believer has been called into is giving thanks always. When the times are good, and when the times are bad, when it's going on so well like you wanted it, when it's not the way you would have wanted it, Bible says, give thanks. Why should you give thanks? I don't know if I have time for that this morning, but we'll go into that. Why should you give them? But let me just, you know, start with number one of it. You should give thanks because He is God. Give thanks to Him because He is God. Give thanks to Him because He is good. Give thanks to Him because He's a marvelous God. Give thanks to Him because He is wonderful. Give thanks to Him because He has loved. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater love. There's no other person that can love you. There's nothing else anybody can do for you that He hasn't done. It's only if you are myopic. It's only if you don't realize what He has done. It's only if you don't realize that even if you have all the silver, all the gold in this world, you could have never been able to buy your salvation. It's only if you looked at it that you did not go to Him and tell Him, like, God, we are now ready, just like I usually say, that there was a meeting. The whole of the society of men now decided to have a meeting and say that, okay, let's go to God and say that we cannot help ourselves. God, come and help us. No, Bible says that while we were still deep in our sins, while we were still unrepentant, while we were still on the cross trying to look at where to put the nail on Jesus, He loved us and died for us. And what we have, just like the Israelites, is not physical, is not temporal, is eternal. They always forget that they were going to a land. They always forget that there's a promised land. They always forget that there's somewhere God was taking them to. And they allow the little things they go through in this life to stop them from enjoying the benefits that is in the land of Canaan. There's nothing big enough. There's nothing powerful enough. There's nothing to take you away or make you lose the joy of your salvation. Nothing. Our God is good. The glimpse of heaven that we have are glimpses of thanksgiving. Somebody says that I'm saved. I'm eternally saved. I'm going to God. I'm going to God one day. I'm going to see my, to do what? And that is why I like that prayer, the prayer of Jesus. I say, as it is in heaven, so it should be on earth. To do what? I'm going to heaven. Oh, the brother has gone to heaven to meet the Lord. To do what? There's no other picture that we have of heaven than the fact that it's about worship. It's about thanksgiving. Revelation 4 talks about four creatures. It says that one looks like a lion. The other looks like a calf. The other looks like the face of a man. The other is like a flying eagle. It says they have six wings. They have eyes inside and out. So many eyes. What? All this description that I personally might not even understand, and I don't understand, but I understand what they are doing. I understand the whole purpose of all those descriptions. It is that they are giving glory, honor, and thanks to the one who sits upon the throne of heaven forever. Saying, holy, holy is the one that was and is to come. And Bible says, verse 8, that as they do this, it says that there's another set of 24 elders. It says they laid their crown down and they bowed down to him that sits upon the throne of heaven forever, saying the same thing. Holy, holy is the one that was and is to come. And they say this, glory, honor, and power be to the one who has created all things for his pleasure. Hallelujah. 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 We have been called to a life of thanksgiving. We have been called to a life of thanksgiving. We have been called to give praise to our God. So much has been done for us. Even when we don't see it, even when it doesn't reflect in our present situation or circumstance, the truth is that God cannot lie. The truth is that what has been done has been done. The truth is that God expects us to just, you know, walk through life giving thanks to him in every situation. What have I said this morning as I close? Have I said don't desire better things? Have I said just stay in that state and just be giving thanks to God? You don't even need to work again. Just give thanks to God. You don't need to. I've not in any way said that. I've just said that in your clamor to make progress in life, in your effort to get better at whatsoever thing it is in life, including ministry, do it with thanksgiving in your heart. God told the Israelites, you know, to continually have what we call, what the Americans even turned into their Thanksgiving day or Thanksgiving period, week. You know, they are part of the things that they got from the Jewish. You know, God told them, you know, celebrate this, the Passover. Celebrate, you know, what we call the Pentecost. So that people can always remember what he has done for them. Because it's possible for you to forget. It's possible for you to go through this and then you forget where he's taking you to, where he's taking you from, and what his promises and his life is all about. But once again, this morning, we have been called to a festival of thanksgiving. We have been called to a festival of thanksgiving. Continue instant in prayer and remain daring with thanksgiving. Being built up and rooted in Christ Jesus, he says, abounding daring in thanksgiving. It's all about thanksgiving. Don't let the devil steal your joy. permit me to say that. Because the truth of the matter is that when you complain, when you murmur, when you feel bad, what happens is that it affects so many. Even you emotionally, you are down. Someone says, don't go to him right now. He's in a bad mood. I've not seen it in scripture. What I've seen in scripture is a continuous state of thanksgiving. No wonder Paul and Silas, in the midst of so much trouble they were in, they could rise and sing praises to the Lord. And they said, everyone, you know, heard them. They understand better. They are not forgetful. They are not people who are just, you know, who are just serving God for the moment or for the thing they can achieve. They understand what he has done. And they understand where he's taking them to. That no matter what, my anchor is stayed on him who owns life and has eternity in him. Let's bow down our heads and talk to him this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor, Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Jehovah. Makatomba rikashkanda rika soto ya. Rekashkanda lika tomba rikashkariaka soto ye balika soto ya. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Even the man Paul, when he was talking about tongues, he says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, give it thanks well. It's all about thanksgiving. It's all about thanksgiving. Jesus took the bread and he was about to feed the thousands. And the first thing he did was to thank God. It's all about a life of thanksgiving. He was at the tomb of Lazarus and the first thing he did was to give thanks. Thank you, Lord, that you hear me at all times. It's a life of thanksgiving because it's done. Thank you, Jesus. We love and adore you, Lord. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, Jehovah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. What shall I render unto Jehovah? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.